glorious time that we have this time of year, the birth of our Savior, time of compassion and love for our family and friends. Just a glorious time. To start out this morning, I'm going to have Brother Mike come. He wants to share a thank you to the body. I'm going to have him come up and do that at this time before I get into the message this morning.
Can you hear me? I want to thank everybody here for your prayers and support. We went through a rough time the last couple of weeks with this virus. My whole family got it. My brother, my sister, and her husband. Daughters and their husbands, and Candy and Barbara.
We all did good though. We did the best though.
And Barbara, my guardian angel.
Hallucinating again.
To talk about a miracle. There was a special person in my life. And he died. We don't know what he died of. And he donated his lungs to me. Life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That was a miracle. Jesus. You got to be there when he comes back. Hallelujah.
Thank the body for those journals, prayer journals that you got us. I've been journaling since we received them, and that was one of the first phrases that I put in was Mike's healing. I had called Barb last week and talked to her and said how well things went, and I was just so appreciative because we all knew that if Mike got COVID, that it was going to be a struggle for him, but it wasn't. God for that. It was a miracle that Mike's with us today. And so God bless your family, and we bless God for sparing your life and healing you. Thank you, Lord. Matt brought us on a journey last week to Bethlehem to the coming of Christ, and I'm going to take you farther on that journey today, because he stopped when he got to Bethlehem so that I could do that today. And the Lord has given me a message for us today to take us. It's really a journey that goes from there on to the second coming. It didn't stop when Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem. That was a very unique birthing. But it didn't stop there. That was only the beginning. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for Jesus' birth, for sending him as a babe in a manger to be the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for what that means for us today. Lord, that you provided a way for each one of us, even though we're not part of the lineage, we're not part of that genealogy, yet we are Abraham's seed, and I thank you for that, Father. That you made a way through Jesus Christ for us to be part of your family. Hallelujah. So for that, we thank you this morning, Lord, and we ask that you'll use my mouth today, Father, that I'll not get in your way, but that I'll allow you to move and do what you want to do in the body of Christ today. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've entitled it today, The Greatest Story Ever Told. That's not my original title. That's been used before many times. And we're going to begin in Luke chapter 2, where Matt left off last week. Actually, in verse 6. I can find it. I don't know where it is. It just takes a while to turn the pages. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. So as Matt told us, Mary and Joseph were on their way to Bethlehem to... They had to go there for a census. They had to go to the lineage of David. It was the town of David. And that's where, because Joseph was a descendant of David, he had to go there to sign up for the census. How many of you got your papers in the mail this year for the census? Had to fill them out and send them back in so they know who's who and who's where. And so that's what they were doing. And while they were there, I'm in verse 6 now of Luke 2. The time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes. A lot of your versions say swaddling clothes. And I think of that when you think of a baby, they like to be swaddled. They like to be packed up in cloths and just firmed up. That's what they like. So that's what she did to Jesus, and she placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And I can just imagine why they were terrified, because they hadn't seen an angel before, I'm sure. These guys are out. They're living out with their sheep. Wouldn't you like to do that, Neil? Stay right out there with your sheep. Go out in the field with them in the winter. Anyway, these guys were out with the sheep. That's where they lived. It says they were living out in the fields nearby. So shepherds had to be there with the sheep to keep them from predators. Obviously, they didn't have llamas to put out with them to keep the predators away, or donkeys. There's a lot of different ways that farmers use today to keep predators away from their sheep, and one of them's not with them staying out in the field with them. So this is just the way it was done then. And so they were scared because this angel appeared probably in the sky, maybe right beside them. He was there, and the angel was there, just appeared. It says, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, or the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So it didn't take them long to lose their fear. Once the angel told them, "You don't need to be afraid, because I bring you good news today. I'm bringing you great news today. The greatest story ever told." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Things of God are always just as He told them, aren't they? We don't have to wonder if the Word of God is true or not. Hallelujah. It's always been true, and it always will be. Let's go from there over to the verse 30, where Jesus was presented at the temple. Actually, it goes on here from 21 on, when Jesus was circumcised, they went to the temple, and Simeon was there in the temple. He was the priest that was taking care of things. Well, they had to, in verse 24, it says, they went to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." He said, "I'm now ready to go. I've seen the salvation of Israel. I've seen the Christ. I've seen the Messiah. So you can let me go now. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. That's what she did. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, then they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we see Jesus growing up now. He was born as a babe. but his life continued. The next verses talk about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus, and then the genealogy of Jesus again here in Luke. But I want to go to chapter 4 now. Verses 38 and following. Jesus is a healer. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the house of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. So as you look at Jesus' life, and as he grew and became a man, he healed many people. As you read through Luke and through the other Gospels, you'll see many, many times that Jesus healed. And you know, as we took the elements today, that the broken body was for our healing. So he's still in the healing business today. And I thank the Lord for that. Mike thanks the Lord for that. Thank God that he still heals today. He still cares about us and heals our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now I want to go over to the Last Supper that we just had together, to chapter 22 of Luke. I'm pretty much staying in Luke today until the very end. I want to look at John's revelation to the church at the end then. But I just want to read, you know, we already did verses 17 through 20 as Matt was sharing out of Matthew. But verse 14, it says, "When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, 'I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God.'" And that then is where we do the Last Supper. And so, this is an important thing in our lives today as we share the Last Supper with one another. Sharing in Jesus' death and his resurrection. The broken body that was broken for our healing. The shed blood that was shed for our redemption so that we could live. He was the Lamb that was slain. And I want to look at that in Luke 23, beginning at verse 26, 23. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women, and who mourned and wailed for him. And Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed, and when they came to the place called the Skull, where they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." He said, "If he's the Messiah, let him save himself." Soldiers also came up and mocked him and offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." And then it goes on, "In the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, and for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And when he had said this, he breathed his last." So Jesus was crucified. He was the Lamb that was the sacrifice for all of us. Because in the Old Testament they had to sacrifice a lamb. So he did that for us. And then he goes on, and at the end of chapter 24, he ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He's there on behalf of us when we can't do it right. He's there pleading for us. It says, when he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, I'm in verse 50 of chapter 24, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It says, while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Can you imagine? You're standing there with Jesus and all of a sudden he's not there anymore. You saw him go. He was taken up into heaven by the Father. It says, then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Revelation, to chapter 1. This is John's, the revelation that the Holy Spirit gave to John concerning the last days. And I'm 68 years old. I've been hearing about the last days my whole life. So we're obviously 68 years closer to it than we were when I was a child, a baby. It may not be far away, guys. The second coming of Christ is inevitable. It's going to happen. He has gone to prepare a place for us. You know, Jesus came as a baby, as a child, and grew up and became a man and walked the earth. And then he went to the Father. And now there is there interceding for us. And this is the revelation to the Apostle John. And it begins in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Hallelujah. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests, to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. Amen. And then He says, I am the Alpha and Omega. And these are red lettered in my Bible, the words of Christ, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So He's coming back for the church. That was His purpose, coming as a babe. On this Christmas morning, many, many years ago. Hallelujah. So this morning, as we finish up here, if any of you have a prayer need this morning, I would love for you to come. We would love for you to come and share it with us. We'd love to pray with you. If you just want to stay where you are and let us know, that's fine as well. I'm going to finish up today at the end. There's a blessing here in Romans 15 that I'd like to share with you at the end. So, musicians, come on up. The elders, come up. We'll be here to pray with you. If any of you have a need at all, let someone around you know, or let us know so we can pray with you about it.
Thank you.
Says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is a time for joy and peace, and you guys can be full of it as you hope in the Lord. God bless you. Have a really, really good week. Family time. Enjoy it.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Go, team, go! Yay!
All right.
Oh, you guys nailed it. Oh.
All right.
Yes, girl. Happy birthday.
Oh, I forgot about the Christmas star. Yeah, I forgot all about it.
You just posed it to me. Think about it.
Hey, also, guys.
Look around.
Becky just reminded me the Christmas star is going to happen this week, I think, on the 21st.
Oh, that's good.
So there's something that any of you are interested in, why. It's when two stars cross or something, and it's going to be really bright. What?
Two planets will be like right by where the moon is. So
okay.
It's Jupiter and Saturn, I think.
All right.
And they're so close together that
tomorrow?
It looks like one giant.
45 minutes after sunset.
Okay. All right.
I love it, so.
All right. Thank you.